Hi besties, this week we are talking about friendship goals. We're going to be figuring out what makes you a good friend and how much you can realistically expect from your friends. Like, me and Mandy have had so many friends that have snaked us and done us dirty, so we're going to be looking at bad examples of friends. But don't forget to follow us wherever you're listening and let us know what you want to see by dropping us a comment on our IG, Sisters in a City Official. So Mandy, I really want to ask you this. Do you actually think you're a good friend? Because I know
no.
the answer. Yeah, you do.
I don't think I'm an example of a good friend, okay? But there is room for improvement. 100% there's room for improvement.
I just feel like if you don't really consider the people around you as friends, because if you did, then you would be a good friend, if that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
I think like when you love someone, you'll go all out for them, but you just don't love anyone except for me.
I think we have different definitions of friends. Like, what is your definition of a friend? You know, is your friend going to be there? Like, if you're homeless or broke, are they going to be there? If you've got a disease and you need to go to the hospital, are they going to come and sit by your side? So what's your definition of a friend? A friend isn't someone you just go out getting drunk with on the weekends.
But I don't know. I don't think you need to look into it that deep. Like, maybe you could look at that as more like family, like unconditional kind of love. Friends can be not that extreme, like, if you see what I mean. Like, for me, I can be a good friend, but I don't need to look at it that deeply.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but yeah, I don't think I'm the best.
Like, it doesn't have to be someone that you just go and get drunk with, and it doesn't also have to be someone that's going to hold your hand
through
every step of the way of a terminal disease. You see what I mean? It could just be someone something in the middle that makes you feel good and you make them feel good, and they just bring joy into each other's lives.
100%. And on that middle ground, I'm a shit friend. Okay, so...
You see me, like, I think I'm a really good friend. Like, I mean, there's always room for improvement, but I do think I'm a good friend. I think one of the reasons why I got through Love Island, I was actually known for, like, having girl code and being a good mate. So anyone that's ever lost me as a mate, shame on you. Your loss, you know? But, like, why would you say, man, you're not that much of a good friend? Like, what are your issues?
I just can't bother to reply to text messages. I can't bother to talk all the time. Small talk jars me. Like, I can't bother for it. It's so boring. Like, how are you? How's life? How's family? Like, just come to me and be like, look, I've got an STD. Like, and then we'll talk. Don't come to me, like, you know, small talk. I find that really boring. Also, like, I kind of forget about my girlfriends when I meet a guy.
Yeah, that's the worst. I think everyone's been, like, guilty of that at one point in their life.
Do you know, it's already tiring enough having to text, like, one person, and then, like, you have to text all these friends as well. I think as well, I'm not going to lie, people with the most friends are the fakest people. The bigger your circle is, the faker you are. Just like my man. He's got so many friends. This is not biased because I'm jealous of his friends, maybe partly, but he's got so many friends. Like, so who really is your friend though?
Yeah, but I feel like they're like abnormally close, those lot, because obviously I'm seeing her boyfriend's friend and I see the way they are with each other and it's abnormally close. Like, they sit on FaceTime to each other whilst they're in bed with us. Like, do you not think that's weird?
Yeah, really weird. Like,
I mean, I made breakfast for him yesterday and we're sitting there having breakfast and then there's a phone that's sitting upright of his friend on FaceTime having breakfast with us. Like, it's weird.
Yeah.
They're like, he'd
on the phone non-stop.
Always be with the boys watching football and like...
You see them like every day. What's the FaceTime for? FaceTime's people in different countries, like, what's this?
No, the weirdest thing is they sit on FaceTime to each other doing nothing. They'll be in silent on FaceTime to each other.
Yeah.
That's a weirdly close friendship.
Just sit in silence with me.
But are they even that close? Like, they're not though, because they don't know each other's feelings. Like,
yeah, weird. Weirdos. Okay, anyway. I think another reason why I'm not that much of a good friend to people is because I feel like I don't really need them because I've got you. Which is really bad.
That's one of the bad things about how close we are, is because we kind of end up neglecting people around us because of each other.
So if I need someone to talk to, if I need someone to share my thoughts and feelings with, if I need someone to go out with me, anything I need, I can just find in, like, basically you and, like, my cousins, really, as well, if I need them. So, like, what's the need for the rest of them? They're not really necessary, are they?
They're just good for a drunk night out, really.
Basically, yeah. And I feel like on a drunk night out, I give them a good time. So just don't text me the next day saying, oh my God, I'm so hungover. Like, yeah, obviously, don't talk to me.
But I do think though, at the same time, because we're so close, we're not really friends because we're like one person. So we don't actually go out together. Yeah, we share our thoughts and feelings, but going out with each other, if we were to go out, we'd feel alone.
Yeah, we do. It's very awkward. We're like, enough. Like, it's just, yeah, we need someone who can basically make us act a little bit like unlike ourselves. Because you know when you go out and you're with your friends, you've got to kind of put on a more positive, enthusiastic face on. Whereas if me and you, we could just be our bleak, moody, miserable ourselves.
Yeah.
not having a drink, like, so dead.
Exactly.
Anyway, what you expect from your friends, like, can cause friendships to end. I feel like that's a big thing. Too much expectations can be really toxic in friendships as well. And I think we have been in that situation before where we expect a lot from our friends, and because we don't get that, because we're willing to give it, the friendship ends.
I think expecting from anything, I think expecting most things from anything in life is always a bit of a letdown.
It's a disappointment.
But I do think that even though we are like really good friends to each other and we're so close, we do also hold each other accountable for anything that we do wrong. And I think that's very important in friendship, is just because they're your friend doesn't mean you have to always agree with them. I think that's fake. Like, if your friend does something wrong, you have to tell them, like, you're wrong in this situation.
Yeah, I 100% agree. There's no point. You're not a good friend if you're just going to sit there and be like, you're right all the time. You have to be able to tell your friend, look, in this situation, I don't think you're behaving correctly. For example, when Anna was like, you know, seeing two of my boyfriend's friends at the same time, I had to just sit her down and say, look, you're embarrassing the fuck out of me, yeah?
No, I wish you didn't. I was really enjoying myself.
Okay, so it's a bit of a tricky one, like what you expect from your friends.
Yeah, without expecting too much. I think definitely honesty, like we were saying.
Loyalty in front of me and behind my back. So even if I'm not there, you need to have my back. Don't sit around while someone's bad-mouthing me. That's not a friend.
Yeah, you have to have your back and tell the person to shut the fuck up
and tell you that this person said this. So basically, girl code, friendship code, whatever you want to call it. And I think this is really important, being a good, empathetic listener in their times of need. You need to have a friend who's a good listener. I've got a friend, she's one of my really close friends. She can't listen. She doesn't listen to anything
I say. It makes me laugh.
Like, I love her to bits, but God forbid, like, I need her to give me advice.
It's so funny because I remember once Mandy was really upset about something that happened with her man, and we were out and she was meant to be there for her, for Mandy. And Mandy's trying to tell her the story, and every 2 minutes, Mandy's trying to tell the story. She just butts in and starts talking about her nails.
Yeah.
Or how she went out with her mom and this happened. And
yeah,
it was
we're just
so
walking
funny.
Past the restaurant. Oh my God, I went there last week, literally, while I'm in the middle of like, and then this happened. And then I was just like, okay, well, she's not a good listener. So I think that's important. I think I'm a good listener. I might not be like the bestest friend to everyone, amazing, keeping in touch all the time. But if I'm there and you need me, I'm all ears.
And I think you give really good advice. I think one problem that I had before is that I wasn't very I wasn't very empathetic. Yeah, so like I wouldn't be able to put myself in another person's shoes. So let's say you were in a relationship, Mandy, which was quite abusive, and I would be like, well, why are you in it? Like, what kind of it? You're an idiot. Like,
yeah.
I'd be like, what kind of an idiot stays in that kind of relationship? But I wouldn't realise or put myself in that person's shoes. That you never know, it could happen to you.
Yeah,
and then
100%.
Until you put yourself in that person's shoes, or you experience it yourself, it's very hard to be empathetic.
Yeah, and you can never say never, because it can happen to anyone.
And now, I think I'm very empathetic. No?
Well, Andy? That's good, Anna. I empathize with you always.
I think it's just as important in friendships as it is in a relationship to compromise, because I've had friends before in the past where plans are always what they want. Like, if they want to go to this club, it has to be what they want. And every time I'd follow whatever they'd want because I'm a good friend. But then I realize sometimes, wait a minute, what about what I want? I want to go to this other place. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. It's important to balance it out. Some friends like to go shisha places more. Some friends like to go restaurants more. Some like to go partying. So you've got to mix it up a bit just to keep everybody happy.
Exactly. If you feel like you're in a friendship, you're always giving, 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 and you're not receiving, that's when you know that's not a good friendship.
It's just like a relationship. It can be toxic.
Yeah, friendships
can
be
toxic.
Absolutely. But also, the best thing is when you're out and you need someone to like be a wing woman for you or big you up. Like, if you're feeling a bit shit.
Yeah, Anna, you're the worst at that, yeah?
You're
actually the worst person. Like, sometimes you're right. Recently, you've been good. People have to remind you to be good. Like, Anna, pick me up a little bit, pick me up a little bit. Make me look good.
Oh, do you mean like to the
and
guy?
And then you do something really bait, like, you know, just before we came, someone tried it with Mandy. Like, it's such a cringest, baitest thing, like, ever. Whereas, like, mine's really subtle and, like, strategic.
When have you ever bigged me up in front of the guy?
You're
that
not
I'm
there.
Seeing?
That's
you
how never good
bigged
I am.
Me
you're
up.
Not there?
No, you don't.
You're not there.
Bullshit. I don't.
Oh, my
it.
God. Fuck off.
I just think, like, if you're feeling crap, then that your friend's there to make you feel like...
Oh, my God. Remember when you flew me to, like, what was it? Abu Dhabi to, like, meet these two footballers because I was, like, depressed off my breakup.
Exactly.
Like, why don't I have... a hot guy over there for you, Mandy. Come, like, let's go. Like, the penis size of my little finger, but still.
Yeah, you see, I need someone like that. I feel like when I'm going for a breakup, I need someone to book me a flight and take me to a footballer. Why can't I have someone do that for me?
This was like a million years ago that you did this to me.
This was literally exactly 2 years. ago, just before Love Island.
All right, well, I find your little dick to fly you to one day.
I think friendships are really important, and there's different types of friendships. Like, I remember when I was working in the pharmacy, one of my really close friends was like a 60-year-old man, and
I remember.
I think he was one of my best friends, and I learned so much from him, obviously, because he had so much life experience, and we'd actually go out, me and him, for like lunches and dinners, and it's so funny, the looks I'd get when I'm out, people would look at me like he's my sugar daddy, because obviously he was like really short, fat, and old, and I was like,
oh my God,
there's
I hope
me.
He doesn't listen to this poor guy.
And like, that's why you should never judge anyone. You might see a really young girl out with a really old man and think, wait, sugar daddy. But no, he was my friend.
Having friends that are older as well is just so good, because all their useful life experiences get shared with you, or so much advice. Like, I love it. I love talking to older women. They always know how to be with a man.
It's like us when we're talking to a 19-year-old now, because we're now getting to that age where we're quite older.
We're old now, so we're telling like, don't do this, don't do that.
I think like, as we are getting older though, our circle's getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah, I literally have nobody but you.
Just less time for bullshit.
Another really weird friendship I had, I was at a bar, and like, she was quite older than me as well, wasn't she? She was like,
yeah, 40 something.
Yeah, and I was like 20, so like 20 years older than me. And she just looked so cool. She was like, look, let me buy you girls drinks. And we're like, no. She was like, it's not my money. It's my boyfriend's money. He's really old and at home. He can't leave the house. He's giving me his money. So I was like, fuck it. If it's not her money, it's her man's money.
Wasn't he dying or something?
Yeah, he was dying or some shit. And then, so after that, we have this amazing friendship that spiraled out of it.
I know, recently we've just kind of lost touch with her though, haven't we?
She was so fun. She was like, I don't know, 40-year-old goals.
I also think one thing is that you shouldn't base who you become friends with on what they have, who they are, or what other people say about them. Like, for example, our friend Gemma, when I first met her, so many people had so much bad things to say about her.
But she's like the most amazing person.
Yeah, people always were trying to put me off being friends with her, or people in this industry. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to judge her for myself.
Yeah, exactly. Base your friendships on your own experiences with them, not other people's.
So how far would you go for your friend? Like, would you help them bury a body or
I feel like
crazy?
Some friends be expecting way too much. Okay, some friends be expecting way too much. Look, the only person I'm helping bury a body, Anna, is you.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not even asking no question.
Literally.
I'm just going to dig, okay? But like some friends, okay, look, we're all about giving advice and being a listening ear, but some bitches, you're going to have to get hearing aid to be their friend, because they want to talk for 24 hours about their guy and their problems with their guy. Everyone's been there, right? Has everyone been there with like every hour they're calling you and they're like, I don't know what to do. He's just done this and he's not applying to my life. Like, bitch, he don't like you. What? He does not like you.
Well, you know what, Mandy? You can talk, because when you were your ex-boyfriend, I spent 2 years with the same thing on repeat. Yes. Oh, he's done this same shit.
And I've
break
been listening
up
to
every
you
week.
The last 6 months, mate. Yeah?
6 months? It's been two, yeah? It's been 2 months,
oh,
yeah?
2 months. Are you serious? It's been 2 months.
It's been two months. You, for 2 years,
when
had the same...
You, it's been 2 months.
You had the same issues, and on repeat, I was giving you the same advice.
That's
over...
Right.
And I'm not going to lie, after a year, I was like, do you know what? I'm not going to keep repeating myself, Mandy.
That was her advice.
You either take my advice that I gave you last year, or bounce.
Right. My point is, yeah, you're not really my friend. You're just, you know, you're biologically... You know,
oh, at the beginning of this podcast, I'm your only bestest friend.
You are my only best friend by force of nature. You are biologically, contractually, you know, have to be my advisor for the rest of your life, my confidant. So you don't have any choice, but friends have a choice. They can hang up. You can't. I'm coming into your room.
I just
coming
feel
into
like,
your room.
How many times can you repeat the same advice to your friend and they keep making the same mistake over and over again? It's like, it gets quite frustrating being on the other side of it. So
frustrating. And then you end up the whole day just being like, hey, but do this, do that. And they don't take your advice. They're like, listen, he doesn't like you. It's very obvious. And then they're like, I called him. I called him and I told him.
Well, it's not always that they don't like you, which you made very clear, because, for example, the situation that I'm in and the situation you were in with your ex.
This is different. I've got other situations where the girl's like, I literally had sex with the guy and it's been like 3 weeks yeah, I haven't even heard from him. Like, babe, come on, man. The guy don't like you. Like, so it's a bit different. If they're interested, like I can tell they're interested, then I'll give more... in-depth advice.
Yeah.
Don't ask me for stupid advice.
What if your friend asks you for a certain amount of money? Would you be happy to lend your friend? I think that is also something that will tell you how close you are to someone, how easily you can lend money or how easily you can ask to borrow money.
My limit for lending money is zero. Yeah. I'm not giving my money. No one's getting my money. Like, first of all, it depends how. £10, £20, okay, cool, yeah. Well, now we're talking three digits, it's a no, yeah. After double digits, we'll be like, we can negotiate. But I'm not doing that. If it's my family, it's a different story, because I get my mum to call your mum and, like, I'm getting that money back. Do you know what I mean? But otherwise, no.
You're such a tight ass man.
I will lend money to whoever I'm comfortable asking for money from.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. So me and you, Mandy, for example, I think we're only comfortable enough to ask literally our cousins for money.
I don't
feel comfortable to ask any of my...
We had a couple of friends that you made us cut off in the past that we were comfortable with, that we could ask for money.
We'll get into that later.
Yeah, but other than that, we lost them now, so we just got our cousins.
Yeah, because the rest of our friends, even though they're my mates, I don't feel close enough to be able to ask them ever for a helping hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Which means that they're not that close.
Yeah.
I think it's also a bit of a dangerous game, like lending friends money, because sometimes their true colours show. Like, you could lend your friend money and they don't pay you back, and it kind of almost, and me, I'm the worst person for asking for money back. Like, I'm just one of those people. But then it just sits in you and it's kind of like, well, are people taking the piss? Because I think, especially since coming out of Love Island, people just assume that we're like super rich now or something. Yeah, and so like, we always get all the cab journeys.
We buy a round, they won't offer the round back. Next thing you know, you've spent like triple the amount they have. Like, they go out and spend just 50 quid. Yours is like fucking 200. Do you know what I mean? Exactly. Their bank statements be giving me anxiety the next day, man. And it's always like, because we have a very like busy social life, people always depend on us for like plans and motives and places to go, whereas they don't plan anything. Why don't you talk to some ugly guys and plan a motive? Why is always, we got to talk to the ugly guys and plan a motive?
I wish for one weekend, one of my friends would just say to me, Anna,
I have an ugly guy and he's got a table here. Let's go on this ugly guy's table.
Exactly.
No, they just trot along. We've got to do all the flirting and selling dreams of sex that are never going to happen just so they can have a good time. Glad those days are over there.
Oh my God, you're kidding me. But it's all about, that's what I mean. Sometimes you just give and you don't receive.
Yeah, I just feel like that.
Make sure you receive.
Mm-hmm.
Another really like question that I've always thought to myself, I'm 31 and I still don't know the answer to this question, is can you be friends with the opposite sex? And the thing is, well, this is the thing, yeah. Before Love Island, I always thought like, the opposite sex can't be friends. But then since being in the Love Island and being more mixed to different, like, I feel like we used to always hang around with Middle Easterns. And I think with Middle Easterns, you just never really had friends of the opposite sex that were close to you. But now that I've been open to like a different cultures, they are friends with the opposite sex and they're actually friends. Like Mandy, I swear
all
to
right,
God,
shut
like,
up. Let me
Harley
see.
Told me in Love Island that she'd sleep in the same bed as her guy mates. Yeah. And I was like, what? That's bizarre. Like how? Because in my head, like they'd always try and hit on you, or it's always going to be some kind of sexual
okay, listen,
thing there.
I'm holding friendship to the same standards I hold it as like me and my female friends, yeah? So if I say a man is my friend, or you say a man is your friend, I'm talking like purely platonic, completely non-sexual, like impossible. There's not even a 0.001% chance that something would happen, even if you're smashed off your face. That's what right. I mean. Like the way I am with my girlfriends, yeah?
Yeah.
So does that exist? I don't think so.
Yeah.
First of all, if I put my pussy on a plate, is my male friend gonna eat it? Yeah, he would. He'd fucking eat it.
Yeah.
Even if he said, I don't think we should do this with friends, eventually he's gonna pick up his knife and fork, he's gonna fucking eat it.
It's because he's,
right?
He's got a dick.
If he doesn't try to fuck me, I'm going to be very upset. Why is a heterosexual man not trying to fuck me? Why is he laying in the same bed as me and he doesn't want to fuck me? So then I'm gonna try and fuck him. Because something's going on here. Like, what's wrong?
Yeah.
We're friends, but what's going on here?
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you, I think seeing my sister or my friend.
I think the only time you can be friends with a male as a woman is if he's gay, okay? And like, I mean, fully gay. Or if he had a thing going on with your sister or your really, really close friend.
Yeah.
That's the only time the friendship is like becomes, pure, because it becomes pure, because nothing could ever happen there.
It becomes just weird, like incestuous if something happens. Like, because like, come on, you're like a brother to me now because you're with my like tight mate or you're with my sister.
Or he's just gay.
If I was with their mate or brother.
Like something has to be there to kind of make
purify it.
But you know, Mandy, most people don't agree with us on this, yeah?
Well,
you do know that,
people.
Right? You do know most people.
Everyone who's got a male friend, yeah? Go have some drinks with him tonight, stroke his dick, and see what happens. I'm telling you, he's going to whip it out.
So true.
Most people haven't trialed and tested their friendships. And also, I'm not talking about friends of like, oh, I've got all these male friends and I see them here like once a month and we go for a drink or whatever. I'm talking like friend, like
a real friend that you can lay in bed with them or
watch Netflix or go out together, go cinema together, you and your male friend.
Yeah, like have
dinner. Like, the way you go for dinner with your girlfriend or the way two guys would go for dinner as friends, like can you and your, do you know what I mean? On a regular basis.
Exactly, I agree.
Can you sleep in the same bed as each other.
Do you know what, man? It's just never happened for us. You never know.
Maybe we're just pussy too good. Everyone are fuckers.
You never
know. Could be our friend.
Well, you might end up one day having a really close guy friend.
Maybe the problem is
us. You did have one, remember?
Who?
The one that we fell out with last year. You were really close to him.
Yeah, but you snogged him.
I snogged him, yeah, but...
So same shit, basically. It's purified.
It was purified.
And I snogged his brother.
He snaked you in the end, didn't he?
Anyway, fuck him, yeah?
Yeah.
Because he really snaked me. I really loved him. He was my very close friend. I called him my brother and everything. And we would go out together all the time, chill together. We would, like, there wasn't a motive that we had that wasn't together. And, like, he'd bring girls back to my place. He'd even, like, I'd let him, like, have sex with them in my place. Like, all of this.
I mean, like, and I remember, Mandy, it was the first time, the club that we always go to, Tramp, the first time he wanted to do his birthday there. Obviously, it's very difficult to get in there, but because we've been going there since we were, like, young.
Yeah, we took him there first time.
We have our membership there. So we took him there the first time, and, like, he literally basically became friends with people we connected
him to. No, after you went away, and I basically took him there a few times and then introduced him to everyone I knew in that club. And basically, I even introduced him to the guy I was dating at the time. So he fucked me off, got his own membership, made friends with all my friends, and started going clubbing out with the guy that I was seeing. That was some snaky shit, man. Imagine I introduced you to my guy, you're like my best mate, and then you start rolling with him and you cut me off for no reason, just because you basically got all your benefits and you just cut me off.
It's very clear now that his friendships have hidden agendas. Like, he was using you for your connections.
I don't know, I think they just had hidden agendas with me. I don't think he's got hidden agendas with other people.
I bet you anything that it will all come to surface soon. Like, he's obviously that sort of person. If he faked it with you for that long, and like, he's definitely not a good person inside.
Yeah.
And just treat people like the way that, basically with him, because I still see him around, I'll still like be civil and stuff, but you just always remember what they're like.
I think all these experiences though have put me off, like, having, I don't know, having new friends and putting in the effort and investing into new friendships, because it takes time. Just like relationships, it takes time to grow. You get to know them, you spend time together, you have heart to hearts, you know, you break bread together at your house, at the table. All of these things slowly bring you close to someone, and the next thing you know, they turn out to be fake, they turn out to snake you, and then the next time you meet someone that you click with, you have this big wall up, you've got these barriers up, and you just don't want to. And that's why for me, Anna, like, it's so hard for me to get close to all these like new girls that we meet, because I just think, what's the point?
And also, I feel like it almost hurts more with friends, because with relationships, you always have at the back of your head that it will probably end one day, or it might end.
More expectations that they're going to hurt you.
Yeah, relationships come and go, but like friends, you always assume that they're going to be there to the
end. Lifelong.
Yeah. But I mean, even that girl that we fell out with recently, like, we let her into our house, she's sleeping in the same bed with me, like, literally... let her into our... You know when you let someone into your home, it's like a thing?
To meet your family as well.
Into your family. And then she'd make all these little bitchy comments to people that we knew, which were... It was weird because the way she snaked us, it wasn't like written like in stone, like, this is what she's done. It's very much like...
Subtle,
yeah. Like, she'd go to our friends and be like, you know, private things that you've confided in her about, maybe about your insecurities or things like that. She'd use that.
For example, if I told her something private about, like, I think before my breast lift, I had a bit of a botched situation with my boobs had bottomed out, and I had, like, my nipples were too high. They looked really bad. Anyway, I showed her, I talked about it. It was like one of my biggest insecurities. Then I hear that she's going to told someone, oh, have you seen Mandy's boobs? Like, mine is so much nicer than hers. Like,
it's like,
what
bitchy
kind of friend is that? It's weird.
It's bitchy.
Yeah. And like, when, for example, she was going through like really bad financial times, I was like, look, don't worry, like, don't look at us and think we're all this. Like, Anna makes more money than me, but you can't compare yourself to other people all the time. Like, okay, we share money, so it wasn't a very good example. But then she went around basically trying to make me look like I'm some sponge, some clout chasing sponge, and talking shit about me to all our friends. So then I was like, okay, look, this girl's obviously really insecure. So I kept her around because I felt sorry for her. But then I just kept hearing things on and on and on.
And I think me and you, we're so giving and we let people off and we're too nice sometimes for our own good.
Oh my God, wait, actually, can I just one more thing that she did, yeah? This was really bad, yeah? I was like sitting down next to my man at the time, he wasn't even my man. And like, she saw these scars on my thighs, which she already knows what they are, like surgery scars. And she came up to me and she was like, in front of him, pointed at them, like, oh my God, what are these scars on your thighs? Like, bitch, you know, like, you're trying to draw his attention to my imperfections to make you feel better about yourself. Anyway, that was just another one that came to mind.
That's what I mean by like subtle bitchiness.
Yeah, her subtle
There's like
snakiness.
People that like straight up talk behind your back, and then there's people that do it in like a really weird, subtle way, and they're just bad energy. But like, talking about bitchiness, straight up bitchiness, recently I found out that one of my mates, I wouldn't say he was like my really close friend, but I considered him a mate. We'd see each other every week.
Yeah.
I'm not saying saying that if I put my pussy on a plate, he wouldn't eat it because he would.
Yeah,
but he was a mate. And recently I heard that he told the guy I'm seeing that I'm a skirt. He was like, Anna's a skirt. She moves like a proper slut. I don't know why these guys go all out for her because she's just like basically like slut shaming me.
And imagine like that he bought you a perfume on your birthday as well.
And
like,
not only that, he
a really expensive one, really always tries to like put effort in to see you,
always like messages me, checking on me, always like reassures me that like honestly I think you and your sister are like amazing people, I've got so much love for you, always gonna have your back. And then I hear that you're slut shaming me behind my back.
And the person, the source of this information, was such a reliable source as well, so we just know that it's like a fact.
Yeah. And then anyway, I'm not confronted them, but you just distance yourself from these people.
Yeah, I feel like as you grow older as well, when you have fake friends or you see these red flags, you don't have a confrontation about it all the time anymore. You just sort of like distance yourself and keep them at arm's length, or you just cut them off in like a really gracious way. You don't always get into like arguments like you do when you're younger.
Yeah.
And I think that's important for keeping your own peace.
Yeah, I mean, especially being in this industry now, I feel like I've seen the most fakeness in terms of friendship.
Oh my God, yeah, literally the fakest.
People will either try and be your friend based on the amount of followers you have or like what you can do for them. Being in the Love Island villa, there was so many people that I considered a really good friend, because obviously when you're with someone for 2 months in a villa, like
24 hours a day,
the friendships grow really strong, really fast, and they're intense. And you really like think that when you come out that they're going to be your friend for life.
But as soon as they come out and they see the real world and where your place in it and their place in it, it's just fake.
When I came out the villa, there was like so many events that I had, obviously with edits that I'd started. And at that point, especially me, I was getting trolled really badly. I was going through a really bad stage.
You needed the support.
I needed support. I needed the people that went through it with me to be there for me. And so many people, actually, that's not true. Not so many, but quite a few people that I thought were my really close friends weren't there to support me. They didn't show up at any of my events. I showed up to always support them when they needed it. They just weren't there for me. So do you remember the Hyde Park thing that happened, Mandy? I mean, if no one knows, I think pretty sure everybody knows what the Hyde Park thing is.
Well, if you don't know, it's on Google, basically. Yeah, that we had this little fight in Hyde Park.
We basically got set up by a little gang of people. They tried to set me up, and
we
like,
got into a little physical altercation.
They used violence against my
little
cousin.
Anyway, no one really had our back after that, and we lost like so much support in the industry. So many people unfollowed us.
Only one person had my back during that, and that was Belle from Love Island. She was the only person that kept it real. Like, the rest of them were all in my DMs, but they would not be publicly supportive.
And the worst part is it was proven that we were like innocent in the whole situation, because like it all got revealed in the end how like we were innocent. Then the videos of these girls got leaked. Anyways,
99% of people, if your family member is down on the floor bleeding by violence, you're going to
get involved,
defend them, right? And you're going to get involved. And anyone that didn't publicly have our back, but like had our back behind closed doors was pretty fake, I think.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I would have had their back and I would have done all that for them. But after that, I'm so glad it happened, because now I know.
It teaches you.
It teaches you a lesson. I'm never going to go out my way and do that for them. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
But I just feel like sometimes when you keep saying, oh, fake friends, and you cut off loads of friends around you, you end up feeling like you have no friends.
Yeah, you can't be too picky and too fussy. You got to understand that not everyone's going to meet your expectations all the time. People have got their own problems going on as well.
Exactly. I mean, I feel like I regret sometimes cutting off certain people. Like, we had a friend that we grew up with basically since the age of like 12. What was it? 18 years of friendship.
And yeah.
What she did wasn't really nice, because Mandy was going through a stage where she was going for a breakup and she needed her friend.
And then you basically were like, you're not being there for Mandy. And then you guys ended up getting to like a series of small arguments over this.
And then we ended up falling out anyway. I tried to rekindle the friendship just before Love Island, because obviously I knew I was going on there and I didn't want her to think anything. I made a little group chat with a white flag. And I was like, look,
truth.
Like, let's just be like, we've got too much years of friendship, 18 years. Let's put it behind us and like move forward. But
And I think ego got to her head at that point, and she was just sort of like, oh, look, Anna's sort of chasing our friendship, chasing me. And then she said no. And then since then, that was it. Well, I've still got the chat on my phone as well. It's so sad. And we always see her out. And
it is sad. It's heartbreaking. I think losing friends is so heartbreaking.
Especially when you've got so many memories of them. When you've got so many memories and you've grown up together, it's harder. But this is how I think. I think, look, when you're in a relationship, when you have an argument, you sort it out. And in relationships, you have so many arguments and you sort it out. So why is it that when in friendships, people fall out and end friendships over one argument. It's got to be the same as a romantic relationship in a way. You've got to work at it and not give up on it so easily.
Exactly, because it is a very weird time, especially in your 20s. I think that's when you start figuring out who's really your real friend, and you start losing people around you, and you can start to panic and sometimes feel alone. But just remember that the people that are meant to be in your life anyway will always stay.
I think it's so important as well for people to realize that, like, there is no age for finding friends. My mom met her bestest friend at like the age of 50 something, right? And they're like sisters. I've never seen two close people. They're like me and Anna. They're so close. They're obsessed with each other, and they met in their like 50s. So there is no age limit to finding friends.
You might have not even met your best friend yet.
Exactly.
I love thinking about that. Like, your best times are yet to come. Your greatest memories.
Have you seen that quote Viola Davis put up? You haven't met all the people that are going to love you in your life yet. That's 100% true. I think it's important for us to touch on the subject of like mental health, and if your friends are going through any like mental health problems, or if you are, it's very important to speak about it.
No one's psychic. No one can know what you're going through. I think it's important to actually tell people, open up about it.
Because, yeah, and I think it's difficult to have very introvert friends because they might be going through something and you have absolutely no idea. So if you are going through something, it is important to just say, hey, like, it'll be good to talk, it'll be good to meet up. I'm kind of going through it right now because it's hard. Everyone's busy with their own lives and people can't read minds.
And I think if you feel like you have a friend that is an introvert, then maybe reach out a bit more than you would normally. Like, just check in a bit more. Just be like, are you okay? You know, every now and again, because you know that they might be keeping it to themselves.
Yeah, and don't be embarrassed, because I remember there was a time where I was kind of going through really bad like mental health, and I was like 3-4 years ago, and I was just in a really bad way, and I was quite open about it. I talk a lot about it to like my sister, my mom, my cousin. But if I could turn back time, I would be even more confident and open about it, and even less embarrassed, and probably even talk to more friends about it. The more you share your burden, the less it weighs on you.
Oh, that was so beautiful, Mandy.
Oh, thank you. So guys,
not everything that comes out of your mouth is shit.
Yeah, and I am going to personally work on being a better friend in 2022.
I think that's good, Mandy. I really do think you need to know you're a shit friend.
Because why? I've got energy and time and effort when it comes to boys, but when it comes to my girls,
I feel like
I'm lazy.
Me and you put too much energy and effort into boys, yeah, and not our girlfriends.
I love boys.
I've had enough. We love, you know, our agent just told us before this podcast that we're boy crazy, and enough of that.
Now I'm going to be friendship crazy. So guys, be a good friend, and if your friend's not good to you, tell them, okay? These are my expectations, girl. You need to listen to my bullshit.
So guys, we hope you enjoyed our take on being a good friend and our stories on how to spot a fake friend.
Yeah, the snakes, the fakes, and the amazing ones that we can't live without.
And the greats.
Yeah, so speak to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Sisters in the City is part of the Acast Creator Network. The producer is James Collins, with a special thanks to production support from Hannah Holland and the HLD Group.